Thank you. Good morning to everyone. I'd like to say, I'd like to begin with start too loud or no, sounds just fine. Just like to begin with welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord, and to those who are watching over the live streaming, I ask you guys to give me your thoughts right now as I'm standing before you, because I think I'm always saying every time I stand before you, I'm falling apart. I check my heart rate on my phone and on my watch, and it's like 118. That's like when I'm riding my bike uphill. And I go, man. But you know, this song that we just finished, the last words, I don't even know the name of the last line. Say, I do thy will with heart sincere. I be what you want me to be. And that is my desire to do God's will. And I truly desire to do it with sincere heart. Because and God's the office that He has called me to is higher than anything else that could be around me. It's higher than at this point I'm trying to focus on Him than other things. And so that is a little bit about my sermon, is about things that a lot of the times we put first instead of putting God first. If you put God first, He will bless you. And if you are in Him, you will know that you've been blessed. There's things sometimes when either I'm going through something like losing your keys, losing my car keys, which happens so often. And Rebecca is like, why don't you pray to God to help you? And then my small moment situation, a little anger or whatever, I'm like, I don't feel like praying to God for my keys. But then, you know, I humble myself and I do ask Him to help me find it. And I find it. And so small things like that, it helps you understand the His promises. He has not back up from them, you know. God is always, if He has said, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, trust in me. And so He's still on it. He hasn't quit on you as we sometimes do quit on Him. And so those are the things that you know that keep us going. No matter what. You know, yesterday there was a big fight. I don't know how, if there's fanatics here, fights. I'm not. I just happened to be visiting my family, and I saw there was this very important fight yesterday. And this guy, he's from Mexico, Guadalajara, No. Oh, yeah, he is. Just kidding. He is from Guadalajara, Mexico. And he won. He fought with this other guy from Puerto Rico, I believe. But one of his comments, and he said it in Spanish, is like, you know, I feel like I'm the king right now. I can have whatever I want. I can ask for anything, and I have it. So instead of, you know, okay, at first, before he started fighting, he the first thing he does whenever he's about to play soccer ball or anything, I don't know how to say it in English, but they cross themselves, you know, asking God to help them, I guess. And so he did that at the beginning, but at the end he went, and he's like, I'm the king, and I got everything I want, and I can have everything I want now. And so instead of giving God glory from the beginning, he commended himself to him, asking him for help, I guess, and so he could have given, say something to glorify him, that he won the fight. But it was a good fight. I mean, I didn't get to see the whole thing. Because there was, you had to pay, and I'm cheap. You know, a lot of things we forget to give God the glory for everything we have, even now, the opportunity that we have to be here, knowing that there's all kinds of things going on, especially right now, this year with elections and stuff. There's so much going on around the world, around this country. And so, you know, let us just, you know, thank God for all his blessings. Because truly, truly, he has blessed us. Great, great. And we have to acknowledge that and be aware of those things. You know, so my sermon, as you can see here, it's my title, which is The Destruction of God and the Salvation. How did I come up with that? I just don't know. I don't know. I guess when you ask God for help, he guides you. He guides you. And he gives me this thought of what happened. You know, my mom, she never went to school. She did not know how to read, how to write. But she was really smart. She didn't know how to count money. She knew how much the bill was. But she did not know how to count. She would know how much the bill was worth. But something that amazed me about her is that she told me that the end of this world, the end that is coming, it will be by fire. And in those days, I was maybe like 8, 7 years old, and so I don't know what she was talking about. Right, because I never read the Bible, so how did she know? Where did she hear that from? You know, the Bible says that by hearing you will be saved, by hearing the word of God. A lot of times you don't have to be able to read, but if you listened and you opened your heart to his word, you're inviting him into your heart, into your life. You know, I look around my family, and they're living their life, and I don't want to, my desire is for them to know a little bit about God's love, God's promises, and what's after life? What's after life? What is the promise? Who's Jesus Christ? And I don't know if they knew, but that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. You know, before I came to Christ, years back, before I come to him, I would listen to words, to songs, to music, and as I was navigating the radio, I ran into Christian channels, and then I just kind of paused a little bit, and then they started talking about Jesus Christ. I'm like, ah, so I changed the radio right away, and I just keep going, looking for something that I would like. And that is how it is when you don't know God. And so you can't blame them. You can't blame them. But the opportunity for them to know, to come to know God is up there every day. Every day. And so, you know, the scripture that says that Christ is not delaying. His coming is not delaying. It's because the love that he has for us. So he's giving us time, which is the end of that time can come anytime that we don't know. It can come anytime. So we just have to be prepared for that day. We're going to talk a little bit here about Noah's Ark and Noah's, and Noah's, you know. What happened, you know? So, you know, after God make this world, just by speaking, things become real. And that's kind of give you an idea how powerful God is. That he speaks it and it's done. And so he, as we know, in the beginning, how everything start. And so he create the plants, the animals, the ocean, the sky, the stars, the sun, the moon. Everything there is in this world, he created it in 6 days. I don't know how long was those days in that time, but he created in 6 days, and then the seventh day, he rest. He rest not because he got tired. God is God, and God is a powerful God. And so he rest, I believe, is to give us an example, an explanation of how it is in our life, even these days, you know, from the beginning. You know, we work 5 days, we rest 2 days, or maybe 1 day. But he said to keep the Sabbath blessed, you know. He will bless the day after you are taken off, I guess, after you work to the whole week. So his example keeps going even now. So, but what happened when he made everything? He made man, and then he made woman, and then he gave them rules. First of all, he gave Adam, you know, the charge of all the animals. And so we're gonna speak a little bit about animals also, but that's to come. So after he created everything, he repent because the way people were acting in those days. And then he made up his mind, and he was he backed up of his idea of his creation. He created something for good and it turned into evil, and so he had to kill everyone again. After many years, people failed him. But then he realized that was not the right thing to do. Right? But he sent this flood. He sent the flood and killed everything. But thanks that he found good in Noah, well, that's why we are here. So the flood was a factor. I'm reading my notes here. Some creation science believe that the flood wipe out everything, and most of it, the dinosaurs, okay? We're gonna talk about dinosaurs. I think my grandson is gonna like that. But a few dinosaurs survived, according to this science, and they were in Noah's Ark. So they believe the dinosaurs have gone extinct after the flood due to the environmental pressures such as spare vegetation, temperature, extreme temperatures, and the destruction of the pre-flood water canopy. So the flood was not the only cause, but others science believe there was a giant asteroid or comet that crashed into the Earth. They may have contributed to the killing of the dinosaurs and everything that was in the Earth. The leading theory is that the asteroid or comet blocked the sunlight, so changed the climate and set global wildfires. So there was a huge destruction after this asteroids that they destroyed. Part of what everything was in the Earth, not including dinosaurs. So it was not just a flood. But that came after, of course. And so what is a dinosaur, asteroid we're talking about here? I searched and they said that these asteroids who they crashed into the Earth was the size of this city, which happened to be Manhattan, New York, which is 30 miles long and 2 miles long, wide. That's how big was this asteroid that crashed into the Earth and destroyed everything. So where did this asteroid crash? For what I find out, this asteroid crashed in Yucatan, Mexico, 66 million years ago, according to them, in a town called Chicxulub, that's the name of the town where this asteroid impact on the Earth. And you know, probably that makes sense. When I went to Yucatan to visit the brothers over there long time ago, it's been a while, it's so green and it's so grassy. It's water everywhere. Cenotes, which is like a sink hose full of water, green water. They're beautiful. So they say there are rivers under those cenotes, like running through the rivers. And so the soil around there is white. It's pretty white, and it's very rocky. It's very rocky, and so you see cows up there in the green pastures. Grassy areas, nice and green, but the cows, they look skinny bones. They're not fat. And so someone told me the reason that they're not fat is because the grass has no nutrients. It's all limestone. So they can eat all they want, but they're not getting fat because there's no nutrients in the grass. So if you want a really good garden, you gotta go in town and buy dirt. You gotta go to Home Depot and buy dirt so you can have your gardens all nice and full of vitamins, I guess, good for you, because if you use the dirt that is around there, it's not good. And probably my brother Jay will know all this. But going back to the dinosaurs, so this asteroid, it was 10 to 15 kilometers, and so it was a pretty big piece of rock. They caused the extinction of all these animals that God has created. And so the impact caused a number of effects, including explosions everywhere. But the ark when God told Noah, you know, to gather a female, a male, female, each of the animals to let them in, because the things that he was going to do. If you know the story, I'm pretty sure you do. They, after Noah gathered all these animals, the door was shut. The door was shut, and it was not shut by Noah. It says that the Lord shut the door. I can imagine how heavy, how big the ark was, or the door that was open for everybody to go in. And so the impact was when the asteroid hit the earth, they said it was about 100 million megatons, which is, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like it was something big, generating a core of a superheater plasma that was over 1,000 degrees. So when this thing hit the earth, built up walls, mountains, that perhaps you don't see it from the ground, only from the sky. And so that kind of explains it, how rocky or how, you know, it's around there. I don't know how tall it can be, but if you remember, the always the comments of Brother Don, how the walls were, I can't remember what they call it in the Book of Mormon, but I don't know if this has something to do with it, but it's it built big walls around it where the impact was, and this is what it looks like from the sky. And so what it says here, a shock wave, there was a huge blast that radiated across the sea's coastlines and into the continental interior. The winds were over 1,000 kilometers per hour, which is 650 miles per hour, when that thing hit the earth. These were possible near the impact site. A two-year cloud of dust was in the sky, so this may cause the global winter and prevent plants from growing up to 2 years. So the impact, it was thought to have been some type of sea asteroid, which I have no understanding. But, you know, you ask yourself, you know, Mexico is very rich in petroleum. And somewhere around there, that's where they have like a plant where they, you know, get petroleum for the country. So I thought that was pretty interesting, the things that happen around the world. You know, we had no understanding, but if you kind of think a little bit, everything has to do with God. You know, God does everything for a reason. Can you imagine it's a good thing we didn't get to see dinosaurs these days. We would not live in peace. Even now, we don't live in peace. I was wondering myself, why Noah, when he was letting all these animals into the ark, he should have kicked the snakes out. Why did he keep the snakes in? Why did he let them in? I don't like snakes. But then at the first, you know, for what they did, he should have not let them in. But hey, it's God's plan. It's not a plan. You know, the snake has, you know, the promises. When God told the Eve, you know, the her seed was stepping, you know, on the enemy's head. And so we have the understanding that when Christ was on the cross dying, and he came back in the third day, that was the victory. And that's how it comes to us. The promise is that if we die in Christ, we will live in Christ. Because he died for 3 days, but on the third day he was alive again. So we worship a God that is alive, not a dead God, a stone God that just stands there and not move, breathe, see, speaks. We worship, we live for a living God. That from the beginning, He has this plan for each of us that we may come to Him, even now, that we may be saved. Let's move on. So God told Noah to build the ark. And Genesis 6:10-14, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of the flesh is coming before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within, and pitch it without pitch. Oh my goodness. So God found that Noah was the only one that had good things, good feelings, that he was walking in God's commandments. So God used Noah to build this ark. So the question is, how big was this ark? For what I found out was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. In Genesis 6:15, it says, and this is the fashion which shall make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 15 cubits, and the height of 30 cubits. And we all know the cubits in those days, for my understanding, is the length of your arm from the tip to the elbow. That is a cubit. So it was a pretty big ark, you know. That makes me wonder, should I go to Tennessee? I don't know where the ark is that is built over there. It's supposed to be really close to the one that Noah built. So far, for what my understanding, not even the ship that is sinking to the ocean. This ark is the biggest ship, and you know, perhaps. And in those days, and even in these days, it was big. It was a big, they will hold all these people, all these animals, and of course, Noah's family. But what is, I searched, what is the gopher wood? So teak is thought to best represent gopher wood, teak. Since it was previously used as a structural material, In the Middle East, the wood types were soaking fresh water and salt water to be able to work it. So it's something that, even these days they do that. Something they do to build anything. They have to bend the wood. So look at this guy. That tree is pretty huge. So that happened to be a gopher tree. And it's only found, in that area down there. So, what is gopher? Well, I find this animal there. It's a gopher. That's the name of that animal. Okay, in Genesis 6:14, it said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room should make it in the ark, and they should pitch it without pitch. I think I just read that already. So, the most Christians, what we believe is they. The word gopher here is actually a translation from the Hebrew word GPR, which is, I don't know what that means. I should find out. So, and as far as we know, the true meaning has been lost to time, and that's why the reason is everybody's wondering what is a gopher word, because we had no understanding until some time. It's because the Hebrew, which is, I didn't even know, the Hebrew language kind of died in around 200 AD into the late 1800s, when this guy whose name is Eleazar ben Yehuda resurrected the language and compiled the first Hebrew dictionary based on Arabic root words. And there were some words that were based on any of these 1500 or so no Arabic roots, and simple terms. There are about 100 different words in the Bible have no clear translation. And in this case, in Genesis 6:14, and the 1611 authorized King James Bible translation decides to render "make thee an ark of wood, gopher wood." And it actually goes both ways. With the modern Hebrew translation of the animal gopher being translated, some scholars have suggested this refers to wood from some region known as Jofar. Others have suggested to refer that it's a cypress tree, which is how did you find it translated in the, you know, in the Bible. But the footnote admits that they don't. They actually know what the word is. Really, we don't have an understanding until this guy came in and studied. And so he was living in Europe, and he decided to move to Israel. And so he studied the you know, Hebrew. And so in so much that he brought his family to Israel, and he had a son and a daughter, and he did not let them marry anyone else but a Hebrew companion, and he would not let them speak nothing but Hebrew. He was so into it, and so he built this volume of this dictionary for Hebrew, you know, for us to study, I guess. So that was when he found out the gopher wood, it could be cypress wood. And that's the closest they can get, the gopher wood, but still now we don't know exactly what the word is. The main point is what does the ark mean these days to you? What does it mean? We living in times that we have no understanding the plan of Christ, why he came to this world, suffer and die for our sins. From the beginning, the salvation, you can find it everywhere in the Book of Mormon and the Bible. It's there. We just have to open it and read it for ourselves if you don't believe me or believe people up there who preach this news, this good news, that we are not lost. We are not lost. You can be lost in your own actions, but there's someone up there who cares about you, who loves you, who gave himself for you. That is the whole thing. That is my understanding what the plan is of salvation. And so the Ark of Noah is a picture of salvation, which is allow us share it with our brothers that Christ is the Ark even this day. So it's like, you know, I think I said it before, you know, God has given us the freedom to choose for yourself, to choose either way. There's two ways. You decide which way you want to go. I said that it's like he put the cards on the table. It's up to you. It's not up to me. He killed everything in this world, and he was repent. He was sad for what he did. And so even this day, we have a promise and a sign, which is the arcoiris. What's the word for the rainbow? Yeah, thank you. the rainbow. We have that promise. So every time you see that appear in the sky, just think about God. From His own words, He said, when you see this, it's a promise that I'm making between you and me, that I will not flood this earth any longer. But people, even now, is continuing to do evil things. So now you have two places, His kingdom or hell. Those are your two options, just clearly. Those are your two options. You decide where you want to be. You know, sometimes in our busy days, a lot of times you have no time for anything but working and visiting, working and doing other things. I hope, and I don't want that thought pass through your head, you know, oh, I had enough of this. I'm just going to live my life. Remember what He said, that if you come to know Him, if you walk away, it's better for you to hang a rock in your neck and throw yourself into the ocean, because it will be worse when the time of judgment comes for you. So now that we are in with Christ, let's just keep us going forward. Move on forward and just focus on Christ. Focus on God. I don't think that's hard. That's not a hard thing to ask to do. But it is. It is, because we're just too busy in this world. But let's, you know, I'm glad that we have this hour, this time that we have to, so we can come to Him and think just a little bit about Him. And then just to have a fellowship with Him. So how can we save humanity from extinction? I noticed my grandson here in the dinosaur in the back. That was pretty cool. How can we help them? You know, this is our kids that are growing up. As a young parent, have you thought about what is coming? I mean, even now, we're living in a very, very dangerous time. But what is coming ahead? The earth climate has changed. There has been times in the past when it's been hotter than it is today. And sometimes it was cooler. As far as we can tell from the geologic record, there has been no time in Earth history when the climate has warmed in such a short time. And we can see the effects and climate change everywhere, more frequently and more severe extreme weather events like tornadoes and hurricanes that we have so many of those. Droughts increasing. I mean, there's lakes in Mexico that have been there for years and years and years, and now they are dry. The Euphrates River, how is drying too? There's so many things going on. With seasons beginning to lack regular, the seas, the levels are rises, and the climate change. Doesn't necessarily pose an existing threat to human existence. It surely possesses a threat to how we like to live our lives in these days. If you think a little bit about how everything is becoming electric, you know, it's like you want to drive an electric car. I'm like, no, I don't want to drive a microwave on wheels. Because that's what it is. You are driving something that is running on energy, just cooking yourself, perhaps, you will not even notice. So those are the things that are coming. I cannot believe what's next. Again, a single nuclear weapon is not a threat to humanity, but thousands are. So we can only try our luck for so long, and one accident or mishap or misunderstanding can lead to a huge nuclear conflict. We need to understand that so much that it's possible to reduce the risk of this type of catastrophe. If you want to know more than consequence for ignoring space threats, just ask the dinosaurs how well it worked out for them. It didn't work out for them. You know, asteroids can come any time and have the ability to trigger a massive something. We just need something that to happen again and wiping up numbers and numbers of entire species, humans, and all that stuff. So anything can go wrong. So my mom said that this world will end up on fire. Are we going to have another asteroid hit the Earth? I don't know. But we are in risk, and we are not helping for our future kids. Worries of life. This is the speech that I have here. It was my writings and my comments when the preacher is preaching. It's not me, but I'm sitting over there. Last week, Brother Jacobson was preaching. He was talking about his radiator, his chickens. No, that was Brother Adam. His batteries, his coolings, and breaking cars and all that stuff. But those are just things that happen every day. Do we have to really, you know, anything that goes wrong in your life is, it's not God putting that problem to you and you giving you punish you or things like that. No. It's the enemy. The enemy that's working on anything that he can mess up your day, your happy day that you have a plan to have a nice day, he can mess it up for you. I mean, if you think about Job, you know, and to Job understand, you know, his friends came and talking about this and that, and Job was buying it. He was going with that, even his wife. But that was not God. That was the enemy who was killing him all this. And then he realized, you know, God gives, God takes away. So a man came and say his friend that he was worried because he did not feel safe. His friend asked, was Noah safe in the ark? Certainly he was. The man replied, well, what made him safe? His feeling or the ark? The inquirer got the point. How foolish I've been, he said. It was not my feeling. It is Christ who saves. Worries of life. You can sink into all these problems that a lot of the times you can get pretty deep, and it will be really hard for you to come out of those problems. So our feeling of safe is not what we have around us when you think that I have everything and I don't need anything. But in Christ, Christ is our ark of salvation. He is the door of his kingdom. And when the door of that kingdom is shut, just like the ark door was shut and there was suffering people, drowning animals and everything trying to get in, it was too late. There is in the words of Christ, you know, and we live in Noah's days. When people are getting drunk, getting merry, partying all the time, just having the time of their lives, not wondering, thinking a little bit of our Creator, that he's going to show up any minute. And are you ready? That door is going to shut on you. I'm running out of time. But I'm going to read this in 2 Nephi 12, 77-78. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles will repent, are the covenant people of the Lord. And as many of the Jews will not repent, shall be cast off. Not because we are followers of Christ, we're going to be saved. Don't consider yourself safe. Only Him knows. Only Him knows your heart. Because not because you're sitting here in this bench, you are safe. And that's our main point. Our heart has to be with Him. And I'm always saying there's a line that you, I'm not asking you not to have fun up there, but there's a line you have to respect and you cannot go over. Because Christ sees everything. God sees everything. So for the Lord covenanted with none, save be with them that repent and believe in His Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. So you think salvation is only for the Jews? No. It's for those who accept Christ in their hearts. He has the salvation for them. For all those who repent and come to Christ. That's where salvation is. So, from the notes of my brother Jacob, son, it says that his worries, you know, these things happen in life, his cars and things. Don't let that bring you down. Because no matter what the problem is that you are going through, Christ is always there for you. And He wants your heart as a sacrifice to Him. Because only in Christ is salvation. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, and Christ also hath love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Brother Adam talked about love, the love of God towards us, in his sermon last week. And that kind of threw me out. But the love that God has for us, you know, sending his only Son, that we may find a way out of this world that we live, surrounded by temptations and problems. Christ is the only way, okay? Don't forget that. A lot of times you feel heavy with all these things. You know, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest. You come to Christ, He will give you the rest. He will take all that weight of you. If you heard about the eye of the needle in this wall in Jerusalem, in Matthew 19:23, it says, Christ says, then say Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because what? He has money. He does not need anything else. He's all good to go. Do you think that when Christ comes on, what we have is going to save us? No. No, nothing's going to save us. So, what does this needle hole means? You know, I heard, I don't know if it's true, but for a camel to go through there, you have to unload it, everything, so that he can get through. That's the same thing. For us, we have to unload everything and just leave everything behind that we may be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. Leave everything to Christ. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. 1 Nephi 1:37-38, and he also speaking to Lemuel, saying, oh, that thou mightest be like unto this valley. This is Lehi speaking to his sons, firm and steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments of the Lord, Now this he speak because of the stiff necks of Laman and Lemuel, for behold, they murmur and many things against to their father, because he was a visionary man, that he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem to live in the land of their inheritance, the land of the inheritance and their gold and their silver and their precious things, and to go perish in the wilderness. So what's the problem here? What is their problem? It's their richness. They want to bring everything to them instead of just leaving it behind. You don't need it. Leave it behind. So some problem, so this like Lehi had with this, with his sons, we have that same issue these days. We don't need that. All we need is Christ. He is he's the one in the door to let you in, and he hired no one. It's just you and him, no one else. To finish up, in John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How wonderful those words are. He said, I'm not just telling you this because I'm speaking out of my mouth. This is a promise that we have to focus on this thing. The plan is going. God loves you. Patiently waiting for you to change your ways of life. Patiently waiting for you to come to him. What did he say in Revelation? I'm knocking on your door for you to let me in. I hope he doesn't get tired. I'm knocking on that door and you're not letting him in. No way, because my house is dirty. I had a sermon about that. You can clean it. You can clean it. Come to Christ. And it's not too late. It's never too late. That's my sermon for today. I hope there was a blessing somehow in you today. And thank you for hearing me, for coming in, and to hear the word of God today. Thank you.